Peace be with you. I didn't want to have to tell this story, but Jimmy forced it out of me. I came out of a meeting on Monday that at UCI, and Vicky called me from Utah and says, "Are you watching the eclipse?" And I was like, "Oh, that's right now." So I grabbed my sunglasses, I ran outside, I looked up, I got blinded by the light, because you need special sunglasses. And I teach at a university. Don't be nervous, but Jimmy, the only difference between you and me is you were a kid, okay? Anyways, I really want to echo Charlene and Monica's. I've been thinking about it all morning with peace, you know, and peace in the world, peace between cultures, peace starts in ourself, with our thoughts, our actions. Sometimes it's a hopeless feeling, but at the same time, I'm always like, it's never hopeless when you can do something. So we will just keep pushing forward to what peace can be. So thank you for bringing those up. I appreciate it. Now, it wouldn't be me up here. So I was thinking, oh, I'm asked to do a reading after Easter because that will keep me from my Easter dad jokes. But then I remember Monica said we're in the Easter season. And I love a good loophole. So I am actually going to share, instead of some fake news that goes on in the world, I'm going to share some real news. All right. So out at the farm, Tommy the rooster woke up at the crack of dawn, obviously, on Easter morning and looked around and saw all these colored eggs. Purple, blue, yellow, green, orange, and was like, what is going on? And he's looking around, can't figure it out, and scratching his beak or whatever, and he looks at the chickens, they're all asleep. He looks back at the eggs, look at the chicken, back at the eggs. What happened here last night? And then finally, he saw the answer. It lay in the corner. Joe, the local peacock, had been to town. Something to think about. Colored eggs. Okay. Chuck required me to do that. Now, I'm excited to read the theme. Oh, it's already up there. Okay, let's get on to business, son. This is from Luke, chapter 24, verse 36 to 48. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you so startled? Why are doubts arising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have." As he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Because they were wondering and questioning in the midst of their happiness, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. Taking it, he ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Amen.
Now, as some of you know, I have a daughter. She's 26 now, but she used to not be. And when she was not, when she was like between 8 and 10, she was in the most beautiful sport of the world, soccer, and participated. And so, you know, it was with pride that I was a soccer mom. And so, you know, I and the other soccer moms would go and watch our sweet girls that all had the same hair and all wore it the same way. So then we really didn't know who we were rooting for, right? We've all been through that too, but I digress. So rooting, and then, but then my daughter is the one that's like helping the offensive person get through. Like, go ahead, go ahead. And here, let's all work together and let's, you, no, and wait, wait, wait. Oh, I don't mean to hit you. Oh, oh, oh. So lo and behold, her career didn't last very long. She was too much of a collaborator. She was too much, she cared too much about people on the other team. She also was super sub on our team because the coach said, I always know she can go wherever and she will work with the team from whatever spot. And so there you go. She didn't have very long of a competitive career. And so somebody like that sometimes doesn't work out in a world that's all about competitiveness. Amen? And this is why you hear me say as a spiritual discipline that I go watch competitive sports, because it got a little too serious for me. So I go and watch and then walk away, and then I get back in my collaborative state of mind of love, love, love. Just like that, right? Right, of course. Well, the one time I did have to quit, though, is remember Division I music person, right, in the NCAAs. And there, they want you to compete, compete, compete. And then they also say, and that's the way you're going to get your money, so you know, because to stay at this school. And so I did get a little Isabella Corsaro in me, even though I'm before Isabella. But I got that spirit of like, I don't want to compete, compete, compete anymore. I think music is the most collaborative exercise one can do, especially when playing in a band, singing in a choir, or playing in an orchestra, right? There's nothing like it when everything is in tune, and you can, like, Jim and Damien, when you're directing and you go, and the voices go up, and you go, right? And just that movement, it's like you are God, but, right? Like, there's this creation, it's all coming together. So since I believe in Irie, this very competitive person that I am on the one side, I couldn't do it when it was to make beauty and to do this thing that's bigger than us on the other side. So I quit. I quit being a competitive musician. Well, here's Jesus. It's been pretty competitive in the Gospels lately, right? Let's go through how we got to Easter. We had Holy Week. We have the authorities are coming out to get them because, in fact, the authorities do not like that Jesus is more popular than them. And so they're going to come out and they're going to get him. So we go through Good Friday, where indeed he was crucified. And then now we're still on Easter Day in the Gospels. Last week we experienced the point of view from John, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, including who? Doubting Thomas. And Jesus says, touch me, feel me, I am not intimidated that you doubt. So that was that version. And so now this week we're hopping over into Luke, and we're getting another version that now they're at a table. But what we have to know that happened in between in Luke was a walk to Emmaus. Everyone know that story? Heard that story? Should I tell it? Okay. So there are two folks walking along, do-do-do-do-do, as you do in the Holy Land, because that's how you get around. There's no Ubers yet. And they're walking, talking, and they come upon a stranger. And the stranger is a little different. He's kind of loving. In fact, I think he even says, peace, I bring you. It's like, huh. But wait, we're in these really competitive times. We're in this time where we just lost that leader that was causing so much love and so much revolution. And then they experience this person, and you know what? You're really friendly. You're a little bit different than everybody else. You seem kind of collaborative, and you actually want to know about us and know about our journey. Will you come and have a meal with us? And then as they're having a meal together, as they're breaking bread, it literally says, and Jesus took the bread and broke it. They realized in that moment who they were with. The Holy One, Jesus. Jesus is with them. So that's the afternoon for Jesus. And now he's appearing tonight with the apostles. And he appears again. And they're like, still kind of shell-shocked, right, of what's been going on. And we can understand now after we've been experiencing the last 24 hours. So distant. But this shell shock of like, what is going on in this world? Our world has totally been turned upside down. And then Jesus comes, and what's his opening line? Peace. Peace I bring you. Again, using that term that is so political, but also so radical, and also so emotional, all in the same moment. And he says, peace I give you. And the disciples are still hiding. They're still in the house, but now they have a meal, some baked cod. They're so Californian, aren't they? They're having some baked cod. And what happens when they start sharing the food? They recognize it's Jesus. Jesus is still with us. Look at his hands, his feet. He is there. He's not a ghost. Now, we're very thinking, scientifically trained people, right? Ghost? Body? Huh? What? Well, let's try not to get bogged down. Is this sort of a risen person out of death? Because we can think of body in many certain ways, can't we? We think of the body of a basketball team, right? 5 players on a court. They make things happen working collaboratively. We could think the body of the church. It takes all of us to work together. But also body. How do we live, friends? We have our blood vessels, our skin, our hair follicles. It is a rhythm. It's a dynamic rhythm where everything comes together. We rely on the moon and the sun, right? Our rhythms, especially for women's bodies. We are all connected to all the cosmos. Amen. We do give life after all. So that's what you should be hearing in this message, that Jesus is not far, far away. He is with us in body. Does that make sense? Okay, even if it doesn't, now I'm going to travel to Ephesians. Because Paul, he talks about this very same thing years later. And he uses that same magical word, the same magical greeting that Jesus does right now. Let me pull that up for you with the magic of the phone. Okay, Ephesians 4, chapter 1. Here's Paul, because now things have gone on a little bit. We have this Jesus movement, right? We have this miracle happening here at dinner at Luke. They got it now, right? Okay, we're going to go out. We're going to change the world. We're going to get that next week. We're going to go out, make disciples of other people. We're going to get this Jesus movement going. And what happens when you kind of church gets going? Then they start kind of fighting amongst themselves, right? To be circumcised, to be not circumcised, right? Can you be Greek? Can you be Greek? Like all these things that of who church can be. That's the Ephesians. So here's Paul. Paul says, I plead with you then in the name of our Redeemer to lead a life worthy of your calling. Treat one another charitably and in complete selflessness, gentleness, and patience. Do all you can to preserve the unity of the Spirit through peace that binds you together. So now this is the community that has been bound by that peace that Jesus has been spending so much time talking about last week, this week, every week, in the week in between, the text in between that we haven't read, Walk to Emmaus. Peace, peace, peace. Now, friends, you're getting lazy. You're now arguing amongst yourselves on who's in and who's out. Familiar? No. It is the unity of me, of loving me, that should bind you together. You should not be like a competitive basketball team. You should be like that funny player that says, oh, here, come on in. Come on in. Let's work together. Oh, here. It doesn't matter that you started with that uniform. You can wear our uniform. We don't care. Right? Oh, just imagine if we lived collaboratively, not competitively. So speaking of that, I was at a preacher's conference this week, ba-dum-bump. I mean, there's nothing worse, right, than a preacher going to a preacher's conference and listening to others, huh, right? Confession, because of course there was a couple I was like, really? You just said that out loud? What? But there was another preacher that I fell in love with, and her name is Casey Sigmund, and she teaches homiletics, which is just a big word for words and preaching at St. Paul's School of Theology in Kansas City. And lo and behold, she introduced us to I want to call her a tree ecologist. I was trying to find what her official scientific term is, but Suzanne Sherard, she is Canadian. Everything good comes out of Canada. She studies trees and the ecosystems of what goes on under trees. And she fought and fought and fought scientists to say, you know, really, what's going on here in these forests is we need to make them thinner. We need to make these trees be able to get exposure to these trees and make it all better. And Sherard comes to the scientific community and goes, wait a minute. These forests have been getting along a lot longer without us interfering. What if we took time to understand what goes on underneath the floor? Or maybe what's going on from top to bottom? It got so specific. It's Douglas firs. She was studying Douglas firs. And there's such a thing called mother Douglas firs. And how they communicate then with the rest of the ecosphere and all that grows. And so she discovered they got this handled. They actually do know how to sort of change things around because they're collaborative, not competitive. You don't need to cut down a bunch of trees and create a bunch of space so that pine trees can grow stronger and taller. In fact, as we are all learning, that might be actually doing more harm. Right? We know that sometimes forests have to go on fire so that they can then resurrect. But we were controlling it. Wow. So sometimes humans, they don't want to be collaborative and to learn how one can survive and how we can help each other survive. They actually get in the way of the other. So her study has opened up, wait a minute, if our ecosystem has figured out how to live collaboratively, couldn't we too? And then we would argue from the spiritual side, well, wait, Jesus has been teaching us that since the very beginning. Amen? We even, not just Jesus, but wait a minute. We heard that in another biblical story, Genesis. Amen? And the earth and how it was created and how we went from one step to the other and to the step to another. But do you remember what is said after each chapter? And it is good. Or in some circles, it is fabulous. So we've got these rhythms. We've got these things. And the best way to go about it is not to compete with each other, but to work collaboratively together. Amen? Hear the good news from Suzanne Sherard, the ecobiologist. Ecosystems are so similar to human societies. They've built on relationships. The stronger those are, the more resilient the system. And since the world's systems are composed of individual organisms, they have the capacity to change. We creatures adapt. We can learn from experience. A system is ever changing because of its parts. The trees, the fungi, and people are constantly responding to one another and the environment. Our success is only as good as the strength of these bonds and other individuals and species. Out of the resulting adaptation emerge behaviors that help us survive and thrive. Not bad. I think all of this can be accomplished over a meal, don't you? That's what Jesus is about, and that's why we share meals together. You cannot have these aha moments if you're not looking in each other's eyes and sharing, especially that of the earth. That's why he takes time to break bread with us. That's why he takes time to sit at a table with us. That's why we have story after story before he does ascend, saying, but wait, let's have a meal together. Let's be part of something greater than ourselves. So friends, let's keep sharing in community together. Let's keep being our individual selves. That's the other thing. None of us are not to be that creative, quirky spirit that God created in each one of us. That's what gives us strength. Just our quirky selves at that oblong table. Amen? So let us together keep sharing meals, keep sharing conversation, keep sharing community as we are. And I do believe we will change the world to the peaceful kingdom that it's meant to be. Amen? Amen.